Mr. King, reel 12. At the roll call, you have obviously survivors lined up, and what happens if you call out a name that isn't there? Do you ask if someone's seen them?
Just ask if somebody's seen them, somebody say logs or whatever. And then someone say, oh, yeah, I saw him. He was, last time I saw him, he was going down to the state force or, you know, or whatever. Oh, yes, I saw the Germans with taking him in and that sort of thing. But there wasn't much eyewitness account, to be honest, of where anybody had gone, you know.
Could you sum up the feelings of yourself and the men immediately you got into that situation of kicking on everything?
I think everybody was really completely demoralised. You know, I certainly was completely demoralised. It was quite a failure, really, because 1 minute, you had a whole platoon with you around you, and the next minute, you know, they're nearly all gone. Albeit most of them, finally, I think, were captured. They were, you know, there was a hell of a lot captured. In fact, I met a lad after the war. There was a bricklayer called Weymouth. He was in my cook, my platoon. And he was always the stick man. Very, really smart fella. And he was captured, and they told me, he told me just how they had been captured. And he said, he said, I couldn't have been far away from you, because, you know, he wasn't maybe about 10 yards away from where I was. And just one of those providential things, the Germans decided to go around there and miss a few out of, you know. And he said all that the Germans did was just to sort of go in among and prod them up and shove them forward, and they went forward, and that was it. And they were finally, in fact, they went to an Italian prisoner of war camp in the first place, and they had time over it, I understand. The Italians hadn't treated them very well, from what I got from this lad called Weymouth.
Was there any initial anger amongst you all about the way that you'd been led on, misled? Or?
Not really. I think people were... I think it was just a wonder how the hell it had happened that way. You know, I think people were just bemused at the fact that there didn't seem to be any officers around at the time, or very few. And that we'd walked up this hill, nobody knew what the hell they were doing. We just were told that we had to go, you know, go forward, the Germans were up there. And then the fact that everybody had then got pinned down with this very heavy fire, and that out of the initial number that had gone up, there seemed to be very few come back. So it was all that, I don't think everybody was, I don't think there was much, it was just a fact of the, wondering how the hell we'd maybe got into such a mess. I think that was the general attitude.
The unit spirit must have really hit rock bottom.
It was rock bottom. It was definitely rock bottom there. Because there were so few, as I say, there was so few to exchange sort of notes, you know. All I can remember is this lad called Fordyce, who was in another company, a sergeant in another company. And he was really crying, at, you know, sobbing and crying at, I think that's the first time I'd ever seen a bloke cry, to be honest. But he was really very emotional, you know, about it, about the whole thing that had gone on, you know.
And losing his men.
Well, no doubt he might have lost more lads than I did, I don't know, but I didn't get through, as far as I was concerned, we didn't get a great deal back. I think I had about, there was a lad called Mort, and there was the two Mortar men came back. I think there'd be about 15, finally, that were out of my initial platoon.
And C Company was particularly hard hit action.
So it was, as I say, it was just, it was a hell of a baptism, mind, you know, no doubt about that. I think everybody realised then, like the outcome of the war, and it wasn't going to be easy, I think.
When you come out immediately after an action such as that, what are your immediate needs? What are you looking for?
I think everybody just wanted to rest, to that would be keep, to be honest, and think about it, you know.
Sleep comes to you.
I think sleep. I think you know you want a meal. A meal. I think first and sleep. I think. I don't think you want to do much else. At least I didn't anyway. Yeah. But I think that's most what most people need actually.
And did you get that opportunity for a rest?
No, not a great day. No. Well, you see, as far as I was concerned, we were sort of busy. Sort of reorganising and getting, saying what, you know, we were getting, I think we got paper from, I'm not sure where they were, Beds and Hearts.
Did you go back in again within a day or two?
Yeah, we went back in about another 2 days later, I think it was.
What happened then?
Well, we seemed to clear the area. In fact, there wasn't a great deal happened on the second day, if I recall. I have got a great deal of memory about the second day, to be honest. But I can remember that we went up with, it seemed that we were going up with people that we didn't know, you know, because they'd made us up with a lot of other odds and boards, I think, so that you hadn't any knowledge of, you know, the lads that you trained and what people going to do. No, to be honest, I haven't got a great deal of. Or maybe I have to have my memory jogged as far as that went. There seemed to be much more cohesion the second day than what there was. I think maybe about 2 days after I think we went, we did go. It might have seemed straight away, like, you know, it might have seemed in a short space of time. But I think it was maybe about a couple of years where we went.
What happened next?
Well, I remember we went back into these woods. And it seemed to be so, a hell of a lot, it seemed to be, oddly enough, there seemed to be a lot of cover in these woods. You know, we all seemed to be well hidden. And people were moving about quite freely. And we were sort of getting ourselves, well, you know, we were trying to get together again as a battalion, I suppose. Because we seemed to get a few reinforcements in there. But certainly it was much better as far as the lads were concerned, because I think it was then when they started sort of reminiscing about what the hell had happened and meeting old mates and suddenly having lads drift back in. And I remember that, it's funny, but the one thing I remember about being in the woods was I'm nearly sure it was this Lieutenant Duffy. I can always remember him singing it. I think it was singing. He was a good singer, and he sang one or two good sort of songs that were going at the time, you know, and trying to, you know. But it seemed that the people were beginning to forget about and about the battle, and we're starting to regroup. You know, we were then starting to regroup.
Do you talk very much about, you know, your friends, men that were killed after the battle? Is there much talk of that?
No. I remember quite vividly. I knew this lad, Emerson, and I knew McDonough very well. You know, you just felt, well, I think you reconcile the fact that people are going to get killed, you know, and that was it.
You've just got to get on with it.
You've just got to get on with it, you know. If you thought about it so much, it wouldn't be much better, really.
In this position where you basically you're looking back at the action and are able to look back at the action a little more, was there any resentment growing to the way that the colonel had led or not led the action?
Oh, I think so. I think people were wondering what the hell had, you know, where everybody had been. You know, as I said before, there seemed to be I think it must have been the first time we went. There seemed to be a complete lack of officers. Nobody seemed to know where the hell they'd all gone. They must, you know. It seemed as if they'd been outflanked somehow by the fact that events overtook them. Maybe they'd been called off to a conference or somewhere or whatever. And then, you know, events had overtaken the situation and the battalion suddenly find itself in action without any officers or without many officers. And I think that you know, in afterthought, that might have been the problem. That we just lost the leaders, you know, the raid leaders, I mean.
It thrust a lot of responsibility onto the second in commands of the various companies.
Oh, yes, it must have done, because as I say, they maybe weren't cognizant of, because if the officer, you know, if the command officer was aware, the second in command maybe then didn't know what was going on, because he would be as much in the dark as what we were.
Well,
it was just a matter that, you can say it's one of those things, it wasn't one of those unfortunate events that, in retrospect, happened. That the officers, when they'd be called away to these conferences or whatever, to a division or brigade or somewhere, and while they'd gone, things boiled up, I think.
Do you recall the 2IC of your own company?
I'm terrible on names. I must admit that. That's one of my big failings. No, I can't.
Colonel Ware left very shortly after that.
I think they called them still I say I could be Kelly. He's a ginger bloke. Is it Kelly? Clark, that was the bloke.
Had you many dealings with him prior to the action? What was he like?
Well, he was a very active, sort of aggressive sort of fella. Ginger, if I remember right, with sort of bright gingerish hair. Always a sort of a bit of a live wire. Very, very active. I would have thought, always gave the impression that he knew what he was doing, you know, he sort of had the attitude of mind that he was one of those men that knew what he was doing. Clark, that's what they call him.
But you didn't see much of him in the action?
No, I didn't, we didn't. Of course, no doubt, you see, when you think about it, he would be in Cumney HQ. And to be honest, I couldn't tell you where Company HQ was, whether they were forward or whether they were back. But knowing Clark, mind, knowing the man, I would imagine he would be well with the action. He'd be wanting to know what was going on anyway, I've no doubt about that.
Colonel Ware left, as I say, very shortly after this.
Yeah, I think
do you think that he left under a cloud?
Well, he could have paid a sort. Also, mind, when you think about it again, he maybe wasn't to blame, was he? Because if he was away at the time, we couldn't very well command the battalion if he wasn't there. I don't know whether he had anything to do with him when he returned, you know, from these wreckage or whatever. people thought that they'd gone on the, I certainly thought that the battalion officers had gone on the recce to find out what was happening before we got there, you know. It seemed maybe they'd gone off on the conference somewhere, I don't know, maybe the brigade or something.
If they'd been called on a recce or conference, the order for the attack had come through before they could ever get back to you.
Yeah.
And it must have been urgent and immediate. Is that the case?
Well, that's the impression we got, that because the fact that we forced march back and, you know, we were getting going back as quick as we could anyway, the fact that it was urgent and, you know, because, as I say, we got back and just sort of went up the hill and told that the Germans were up the hill, you know.
Did you know which German outfit you were opposed to?
No idea. As opposed to when I went to France with the Warwicks, we knew a hell of a lot then. You know, we knew exactly which battalion, which who was in front of us and everything, you know. Because that was later on, of course.
Have you any particular memories in this action of the types of German weapons that were hitting you so hard? And
seemed to be a lot of Smicers. Seemed to be a lot of small arms, very much small arms firing mortars. There wasn't a great deal of heavy stuff. At least I didn't get the impression that there was a lot of heavy stuff. 88, you know, it seemed to be mostly 4.2 mortars or something like that. You know, something about that capacity, I would imagine. Same capacity as our 4.2s. But, no, it was mostly small arms stuff and snipers. Because in the daytime, you know, when we were laid up, trying to see what the hell was going on, and there was a lot of sniping going on.
And their weapons?
That's something that we never used, you see. We had snipers in the battalion. In fact, the lad that was our company sniper was a lad called Mort. Never used them. I don't think we ever used them as a sniper. You know, I think we have a different attitude, to maybe the German attitude of snipers. I think it just goes against the grain. As far as, in fact, this lad Moore was a very reluctant. He was a hell of a good shot, and that's no doubt why he was chosen in England. But very, very reluctant sniper, I must say. Always gave me the impression that he had the job, because he was ordered to do the job. But I think he was very, very reluctant. I think maybe he went against his grain. I think as it would go against my grain. You know,
they're pretty cold-blooded.
Type like that. Yeah. I think we just have a different attitude of mind to the German, maybe to the German attitude of mind.
You get the impression that the mortars were actually zeroed into that area of ground. It was a killing ground.
Oh, I think so. I think that they must have anticipated their intelligence must have been a British thing better than ours. Because we just seemed, I've just got the impression that everybody thought that we'd wasted our time going up this hill. And all the lads were, as I say, line abreast and, you know, about 5 yards apart, proper military formation. And then we all seemed to get up over on this crest and bluffs and, well, they're all there, you know. Up there, you know. And then, wham, everything seemed to happen at once. You know.
Looking back on your training, leading up to this particular action, did you think it had really taught you to probably face this kind of situation better, or had or failed to teach you? The port, arms carried at the port and walking up a hill.
It was a bit old-fashioned on that sort of thing. I think we thought we were in the First World War. Initially, anyway, those days, I think we thought that we were going to just go to advance over the trenches sort of style. And
there was no attempted infiltration or moving in groups?
Well, as I say, there was no plan. Yeah, nobody knew. As I say, nobody was told like that we'll have a flanking movement around here and here, you know, your company will overtake Bay or whatever, and stay in reserve and all this sort of thing. But it seemed that there was no sort of, in fact, that the initial, that's the as I say, I'm rather confused in my mind as to whether that was the first year or the second time we went to.
Yes, C Company got a pretty hiding the second time, according to the history.
Hammered, I mean,
so this might have been that one.
Might have been the second time I'm thinking about that. I've got my mind focused. But certainly we've got really hammered. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
What happened to you then after, you, as you say, you retired back to the woods?
We regrouped back in these woods. And we started to regroup there. And then we have a recollection that we moved back into reserve somewhere. And we were back in trees again. We were back in the wood again. Well, there was one wood or two wood, you know. Well, I remember vividly handing over this position where we were in and having to make my own way back. For some reason, I had to make my own way back over this bare ground, fairly bare ground. For about 2 miles, it seemed to be to me, you know. And I sent I cannot recall the reason for it, as it happens. But anyway, I had to make my way back to the battalion who'd gone back into reserve, because I'd been handing over. And there was me and the company runner. And we made our way back across this bare cactus. And we were getting shelled all the time. We were going back. We used to dash about 200 yards and then we get down, but we just moved. We got mortared. So they must have been just watching us as we would go up it. They were having a bit of a game with us, just watching when we were going to move. But I remember that vividly, that we said we caught out in the open. It was just the 2 hours only, you know. Caught out in the open before we got into this. The core of these were the woods where the battalion was sort of regrouping. But after that, of course, I hadn't been there very long then. Back with the battalion, when I just got this urgent call to find myself in the Algiers, as I was going to be shipped back to London, to England. That was about the end of my war, as far as the Durhams were concerned. I just had to get on this truck. I remember having to get on this. There was another bloke, a corporal, who told Vic to get, you know, we had to make our way, get on the truck. The truck would take us to Algiers.
And how long was this after the action itself?
Couldn't have been a very long time, maybe about a month or so after the action, I think. But it wasn't a long time after. And that's when I was told that we were going back to be... I think what happened is that the Durhams were going to assault Sicily. I think they were part of the assault on Sicily. And the War Office changed their minds. And the Canadians went instead. I think the Canadians assaulted Sicily. As a result of which, the Germans were going to invade Italy instead, which meant a bigger time lapse.
Do you mean by Germans your own battalion?
Yeah. And then, from then, I was told that we were going back to England as battle instructors. Now that's when I first heard, you know, knew that such a really position. And we went back as battle instructors, this corporal and I remember.
Were you pleased to go and leave the battalion?
Yeah, well, no, I was a bit undecided because I didn't know where the hell I was going, you know. I mean, I was relieved, of course, to be going home, naturally, at least to be out of it for a little bit. Because I was told that if the Durhams, if they changed their minds, I would come back to the Durhams. I was always told that I was just going on placement. I wasn't going to be transferred. I was just going on placement, but that I would always be returned to the Durhams. If the Durhams were going to Sicily, that I would be coming back to the Durhams. So anyway, we got on this ship at Algiers, and oddly enough, we were given about 20 minutes instruction. There was all NCOs actually, that maybe about, I don't know, I've got the impression maybe about 40 NCOs.
And they'd been pulled in from various units?
All from different units. We were given about 20 minutes instruction on the Oligans on this ship. And I ended up manning the Oligans on one of the decks. And we weren't very far out of Algiers when we got dive bombed with these torpedo bombers. And there was one hell of a battle because the blokes were firing all over the place, and I think they hit the victim with the torpedo bombs. But I remember I was on this Oligan,
You were firing off at the. You got a chance to fire off at this.
Yeah.
And the ship itself.
I'll tell you what the ship was called. The Nea Helles. It was a modern, very, very modern sort of passenger liner, I think, at Amben. Just converted for the way north. I think that had about six Oligans on. As I say, that's how we take that.
Comfortable ship?
Oh, yeah, it was quite good, yeah, as opposed to the one we went out on.
It presumably wasn't quite as crowded as that.
No, there was just about, there was just about 40 NCOs on it, you know.
And was it carrying anyone else other than the NCOs?
I didn't get the impression it was carrying anything. Well, I don't know, it was just the, no, it didn't seem to be,
but an uneventful
journey.
It
didn't seem to be a troop ship, actually. It didn't seem to be a troop ship as such.
An uneventful journey.
Yeah. Well, apart from the that one instance of being attacked by torpedo bombers.
Were you escorted back or on your own?
Oh, yeah. There was an escort back. Yeah. Seemed quite a size of a convoy, actually. Quite a, you know. Seemed rather fast. It seemed rather a fast convoy as well, coming back.
What
of course, the ploughing out when we went.
What date did you arrive back in England?
I think I came back in November.
'1943?
Yeah.